Well, good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Several announcements before we begin worship today. The most obvious one is that we are by and large worshiping via internet. So we thank everyone for tuning in on Facebook, and the worship service will be available. After the worship service, we'll also have the video posted on our church website. So I hope everyone can participate in worship of the Lord on this Lord's Day. For obvious reasons, our congregational meeting has been postponed that was set for today. And there will not be a community Bible study at the multipurpose building tomorrow, as all county buildings have been closed to the public. We will, Lord willing, have lilies in our worship space on Easter Sunday morning. So if you would like to place a lily in memory or honor of someone, please let Azalea Knight or Kenny Strawn know that. And our treasurer has asked me to make this announcement. Although our church website enables you to give using a credit card, he prefers checks to be sent. It's easier for him to process. So please send any donations to Port Gibson, to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let's now be called to worship with these words. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, when we're tired and when we're scared and when we're frustrated and when we're bored, it is so easy to lose sight of you. It's so easy to forget your gracious promises with so many other voices clamoring for our attention. It's so easy to give in to fear when we're faced with problems we can't handle, problems we don't really understand. But today, as we come to worship you, wherever we are, help us truly to enter into your presence. Fill our hearts, not with a spirit of fear, but with your Holy Spirit, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us truly to put you first, to worship you alone, even as we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your pew Bibles. We'll turn to Mark's Gospel for our New Testament reading. Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse 30 and read through verse 39. So I will read the even-numbered verses beginning with verse 30 and ask the congregation to respond with the odd-numbered verses beginning with verse 31. Mark chapter 1, verses 30 through 39. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read God's word responsively. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. That is God's word. Let us celebrate the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 408. Selection 408 is I Will Sing of My Redeemer. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 408. Let us stand to sing. We have sung the praise of our Lord. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And they are found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our minute for mission today comes from our friends in the Presbytery of the Northeast of the Independent Presbyterian Church of Brazil. As many of you know, this congregation has long had a relationship with the Presbytery of the Northeast. It dates all the way back to really before the year 2002. 2002-2003, We welcomed a couple of Brazilian students from that presbytery at Chamberlain Hunt Academy. And today one of those students, Diego Moura, is a pastor, and he is the moderator of the Presbytery of the Northeast. And Diego writes to tell us about how the gift that this congregation gave from our Mary Horton Fund last year, $1,000 that we gave, how that was used, and how we can help the presbytery in the coming year. He writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, we received with great joy your offering to the saints of Christ. It came right in time to help us support the students at our seminary who are working in the distance education program. We have four official seminarians in our presbytery right now. Each one's expenses are about $675 per year, so the support you sent to us corresponds to about 36.7% of our budget for them. And that amounts to about $2,700 per year. I say about for all these numbers because it all depends on the exchange rate. But he says, thank you that the Lord called you to be such a blessing to this work in Brazil. Our current students are as follows, and I encourage you all to pray for these folks as we will do later in the service. First, José Antonio Teixeira. He is currently serving as what we would call a commissioned pastor to the church in Parnamirim. He's married to Marione Bonifacio, and they have two sons, Tiago and Tyrone, and two grandsons. Jose is about my age. Second, we have Gleidson Suarez, who is working with IPI Church in Veracruz. He is married to Giuliani, and she's working with the same church as well, and they have two children. Third, we have Josefan Bentoviana and his wife, Franceline. They are missionaries planning a church in Ceará Maranhão called Station 316. And they have two children, Atarcheline and Asafe. And finally, we have Lucia Moreira and her husband, Lindo Esson. They're working with a church in Cabedelo. They have two children, Aparecida and Samuel. So as you can see, each of these people, three guys and a lady, are all working with churches or church plants while they are in seminary doing their studies long distance. Diego writes, there are more students coming for next year. If nothing changes, Second IPI of Natal, that's Diego's congregation, will have three more seminarians. Isn't that wonderful? We're helping to train the next generation of leaders for God's church, even as far away as Northeast Brazil. And it doesn't take a whole lot to help someone study for the ministry. So let's give thanks for all of God's blessings. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 424, a wonderful hymn from the pen of John Greenleaf Whittier, and we'll sing all five stanzas as we prepare our hearts for prayer. Hymn number 424, Let Us Stand to Sing. Amen. You may be seated. And as most poets do, Whittier packs a lot of information into just a few words. I'm especially attracted, as we prepare our hearts for prayer, to the second part of the third stanza. He says, faith has still its Olivet and love its Galilee. We remember that Jesus went into the Mount of Olives to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his prayer was, in faith, his prayer was, not my will, but thine be done. That's the kind of faith we need to have in prayer. And then love has its Galilee. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, now I know you're going to Galilee. I know you're going to run away, but I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you where you are. And that is a promise that we have. Wherever we are, whatever our condition may be, the Lord is with us, and he welcomes us, and he longs to hear our prayers. So with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. O Lord and Master of us all, whate'er our name or sign, we own thy sway, we hear thy call, and we would test our lives by thine. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we are the church, that all who love and trust the Lord Jesus are part of your body, and that we're connected. Whether we're in Northeast Brazil or Mississippi, or anywhere else in the United States, wherever we are now, Lord, we join our hearts, we join our voices, we join in prayer to you. Lord, we know that your church extends over the entire world. We know that there are saints throughout all the ages who join us in worshiping you, in singing your praise, in bowing down before you. And we would join with them, O Lord, on this day. And we thank you. We thank you for the connections with which you have blessed us in our church. We thank you, Lord, for the connections that we have as with other EPC churches all over the world. And today, O Lord, we would continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas as they continue to pick up the pieces of their lives from the terrible hurricanes recently. We pray for Pastor Ken Lane and the Lukiah Presbyterian Church in Freeport. We pray for Pastor Gabe Swing in the Kirk of the Pines in Marsh Harbor. We pray for Pastor Bryn McPhail and the St. Andrews Presbyterian Kirk in Nassau. Father, we lift up our voices to you in prayer for our congregations in Puerto Rico who continue to struggle in the aftermath of their storms, for our churches in Añasco and Mayagüez, for the Westminster Church in Bayamón, we pray. Father, we know that closer to home there are many with many problems. Father, we pray for our church plant in North Nashville, for the All Souls Church. We pray for Pastor Kirk Adkison as they are helping people recover from the storms in Nashville recently. Lord, we pray for those enduring different kinds of storms. We know that today there are many congregations that are not able to meet, including our own. And Father, we know that for many of these, there will be a lot of financial difficulty. We pray especially for our church planters, as just as they're getting new groups together, now there's this situation where they cannot meet. We pray that you would encourage them. We pray that you would bless them. We pray for Christian Kreider, for Brett Becker, for Nathan Cotton, for Ben Cunningham, and for Daniel Wind. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon them today, however they may be leading worship, that you would bless and encourage them. And Lord, we do pray for our partners in Northeast Brazil. We pray for the Presbytery of the Northeast. We pray for the Presbytery of the Sertão. Lord, we know that many of the people who attend these churches don't have many financial resources, and global catastrophes like this virus outbreak are going to hit them hard. Lord, we pray for our pastor friends and for our churches. We pray for Alberto and Erica and the churches in Caicó and Cruzeta and São Mamede. We pray for Max and for the Jardim Queiroz Church in Patos. We also pray for the church in São Sebastião and Malta. Lord, we pray for Diego Moura, whom we know so well. We pray for Second Prayers in Natal. We pray for Junior and for the Esperanza Church plant, also in Natal. We pray for Bruno and Livia and the Mosaic Church plant in Pombal. We pray for Pastor Rubens and the Third Prayers Church in Natal. We pray for Pastor Kleber and First Presbyterian of Natal. And Lord, we pray for our seminarians, whom we just learned about. Lord, we pray for Jose and the church in Parnamirim. We pray for Josephine and Franceline and the Station 316 church plant. We pray for Gladeson and Giuliane as they minister in the IPI in Veracruz. Lord, we pray for Lucia and Lindoison as they minister in Cabedelo. Lord, we ask that as many of these churches worship in the evenings, Lord, that you would bless them and encourage them and hold them close to you. And Father, we have difficulties in our little town too. We pray for our doctors and our nurses. Lord, we pray for all the healthcare professionals who are on the front line helping people who have this new virus. God, we pray you would protect all of our healthcare professionals. Lord, give them courage, give them strength during this difficult time. Lord, we pray for our researchers who are searching for treatments and for vaccines. Lord, we ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them skill as they seek. Lord, we pray for those who have been infected by this virus but don't yet have any symptoms. Father, we pray that you would keep them from spreading this sickness to others. Lord, we do pray for those who have become sick, those who have to be isolated, those who are in the hospital, Lord. We ask that you would grant them your healing touch. We ask that you would grant them your comforting presence. Lord, you are the great healer. As we read in our responsive reading this morning, we know that Jesus can heal with a touch, and we pray that you would do that, Lord. And Father, we pray for all those who are in positions of authority at the federal, the state, and the local level, in our secular government. We pray for all of our bishops and elders and pastors and whatever their titles are in the churches all around this country. Lord, we pray especially now for the Board of Supervisors who are meeting at this very time. They're having a special called meeting to decide what else needs to be done in Claiborne County. Lord, for all of our elected officials, whatever level, we pray that you would grant them the desire to know your will, grant them the wisdom to discern your will, and grant them the courage to do your will. And Father, we also pray that you would grant us the grace to follow those whom we have elected to lead us, whether it be our elders in the church or whether it be our elected officials in the secular government. Lord, help us to pray for and to encourage those who are trying to keep us all safe. And Father, we pray for those who are fearful. We pray for those who are anxious. We pray for those who are clinging to toilet paper and bottled water instead of to you. Lord, we pray that you would grant us your peace, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would help us to worship you truly. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. And now we open our scriptures for our Old Testament reading. We've already read from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, and now we turn to Psalm 63. The heading of this psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, and the wilderness means the desert. This is the word of the Lord. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That is God's word. That's God's word for us. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. So, are you getting a little stir crazy yet? Maybe folks up north are accustomed to being cooped up during the winter time. I remember some of our Michigan friends showing me pictures of snowdrifts that reached up to their roof line. Now, granted, it was only a one-story house, but still, that's a lot of snow. Another friend who went to Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota, and she was from Valdosta, Georgia. She was from South Georgia. So she told me that the buildings on campus are all connected by tunnels, so the students can move around between the buildings regardless of how much snow there is outside. Yeah, I suppose some people might be used to being inside for weeks at a time, but here in southwest Mississippi, whenever the snow or the ice we have appears, it disappears almost as quickly. And let's face it, the days between cold fronts in January and February are some of our most pleasant, and they lure us outside. This year, our tour of Wintergreen Cemetery on the first weekend of March, it was just beautiful. We had cool, clear evenings, azaleas and camellias giving a touch of color, a full moon overhead. Yes, yes, I know. We might be chased indoors by the buffalo gnats in the spring, or the oppressive heat and humidity in August. But even on the hottest days, you can still get out until about 10 in the morning. And we enjoy the miracle of air conditioning, which allows us to continue our extensive social calendars all year round. Now, let's face it, in this corner of the hospitality state, we don't need much of an excuse to plan a party. Doesn't matter what time of the year it is. So it is shocking to us. This virus has done what even the most severe of our Mississippi weather cannot do. It's managed to keep us apart. Even during basketball season, even during baseball season, and that's not an easy thing this year. I mean, this state is home to some of the greatest athletes in the world, some of the greatest sports fans in the country. But because of this virus, even though the Ole Miss baseball team and the Mississippi State women's basketball team are both ranked in the top 10 of their respective sports, neither team will get a chance to play for their championship. The ballparks and the gyms are empty of players and fans alike, as all the spring sports have been canceled. The colleges have sent all the students home. Governor Reeves has sent all the K-12 kids home too until April 17th, at least that long. And government officials, from the President of the United States to the Mayor of Port Gibson, have urged us not to gather in groups larger than 10. So today we're worshiping online using Facebook live stream. So what do we do? What do we do with an empty social calendar? What do we Mississippians do with all this extra time on our hands? And how do we handle the anxiety that can come from wondering just how bad this situation is going to become? Wondering if we or our loved ones are going to be the next ones to get sick. Well, although David didn't know anything about viruses, corona, or otherwise, he did know what it was like to have enemies. He knew what it was like to have to hide out. He knew all too well how boredom and dread could combine to make his problems seem worse than they really were. After all, when he wrote this psalm, he was in the desert. He was on the run from King Saul, his own father-in-law. Not only his social calendar, but his whole life was on hold. He had no idea if or when he would ever be able to get back to his home, back to his wife. Yes, as verse 2 says, David was in a dry and weary land where there is no water. As verse 9 says, he had enemies who were seeking to destroy his soul. He was tired. He was scared. And yet, as verse 1 says, his deepest longing, his greatest thirst, was for God. As verse 5 says, when he lifted his voice in prayer, when he lifted his hands in praise, he felt just as satisfied, he felt just as full as if he had eaten the most sumptuous of meals. In short, David was more interested in Sunday worship than he was in Sunday lunch. How could that be? How could David be so focused on God at a time when it would have been so easy for him to give in to bitterness or to give in to self-pity? Well, while David was stuck in his desert hideout, while David was enduring the months of boredom punctuated by moments of terror that seemed to characterize all wars, past and present, during this time he seems to have spent a lot of time in prayer. After all, verse 1 tells us that David sought God early, even in the earliest hours of the morning. In fact, the very existence of this psalm proves that David not only poured out his heart in prayer to God, but he also took the time to write some of those prayers down in ways that others could sing along, in ways that we can still read and sing today. 3,000 years later. And how might our days be different? How might our days improve if we were to start off seeking God early? If we were to start off with prayer and scripture instead of with the lies and the spin on our TV screens or with the clamor and confusion of our social media feeds? What if, like David, we sought God early? What if during these long, boring, stressful days of social isolation, what if we put God at the top of our priority list? How might it affect our lives? That seems to be what Jesus did in our New Testament reading from Mark's gospel, isn't it? I mean, like many of us, Jesus was absolutely covered up with responsibilities. After it became known that he had healed Simon Peter's mother of a fever, the whole city of Capernaum came knocking on the door, just as if he had had bottled water or toilet paper to sell. But the crowd didn't start to gather until after sundown because it was the Sabbath, and they didn't think they should do that until after the Sabbath was over. So all those healings that Mark describes probably didn't begin until evening, and so doubtless they stretched late into the night. And yet, what is the first thing that Jesus did in the next morning? He couldn't have had very much sleep, but well before daylight, before any disruptions or disturbances could break in upon him, he sought God early. He went off to a solitary place. He went to a place just like the one in which so many of ourselves find ourselves this week. And there, instead of worrying or fretting or scrolling through his Facebook feed, Jesus prayed. He sought God early, just as his ancestor David had done 1,000 years earlier, just as we need to do 2,000 years later. Today, every day. Now, we don't know the content of Jesus' prayers. Mark doesn't write them down for us. But because David did write his prayer down, we know what he prayed. And we know that David's prayers indicated that God was on the top of his priority list. He sought God early. But we also know that his prayers were based on a great confidence in God's blessings. In verse 7, David said that God had been his help in the past. And because of that, he was able to rejoice in the shadow of God's wings in spite of his boredom and his fear in the present. And the same thing should be true for us. Sure, we're going through some tough times. We're going through some scary times. But can't we all look back? Can't we look at the many, many ways that God has blessed us up to this point? Can't we give testimony of how God has shown us his grace by answering so many of our prayers in the past? David could. Even while he was hiding out in the desert, he could remember. He could remember how God protected him when he fought against the giant Goliath. He could give thanks for his many victories in battle over the Philistines. He could give thanks for how his wife, who loved him, helped him escape from Saul, her father. And in spite of his doubtless uncomfortable living conditions, in spite of his doubtless boredom and fear, he could even thank God for continuing to protect him. For each day that King Saul failed to find him, he could give thanks. In how many ways has God helped all of us? How many jobs has God helped us to find? How many marriages has God strengthened? How many children has God helped us raise? Or how many students has God helped us teach? How many trials has he already helped us endure? From storms and fires and floods and wars and sicknesses in ourselves or in our loved ones. And if David could rejoice in the protecting shadow of God's wings, even while he was hiding out in the desert, even while he was scared, how much more reason do we have for rejoicing? For we know the end of the story. We know that what Jesus told his disciples in our New Testament reading was true. We know that Jesus did not just come to heal us of our physical sicknesses. No, he came to preach the good news to us. He came to tell us, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to urge us, repent and believe in the good news. Believe that we can be saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what Jesus came to tell us. That's why he came to this earth. So even in this time of stress, even in this time of crisis, surely our prayers should include a large measure of thanksgiving. As we seek God early, surely we should remember all the ways he has already blessed us. And that leads us to the very next thing we can learn from David's prayer. For if the fact of this prayer indicates that God was his highest priority, and if his remembrance of God's help in the past bolstered his faith in the present, David was equally confident that God would vindicate him in the future. In verses 9 and 10, he confidently predicts that all his enemies would be destroyed, that those who were trying to kill him would themselves be killed. And how could David have such confidence? Well, he was remembering the promises of God. He was remembering the promises of God. Back when he was just a little boy, taking care of his father's sheep, the prophet Samuel came to visit the family. And the prophet Samuel chose David to be the next king of Israel. He anointed him with oil, saying that God had selected him to be king. That's why in verse 11, David could say with confidence that the king shall rejoice in God. He was looking forward to the day when Samuel's prophecy would come true. He was looking forward to the day when he would be king and he wouldn't have to be on the run anymore. He wasn't afraid of his dangerous circumstances in the present because he was confident of God's promised blessings in the future. And can't we all have the same sort of confidence today? After all, we not only know that Jesus came to tell us the good news that the kingdom of God has come, we've not only heard his gracious words of salvation offered to all who would trust in him as Savior and bow the knee to him as Lord. No, we know that he has ascended into heaven. We know that he holds all authority in heaven and earth in his hands. And he has told us that he will one day return to this earth to rule and to reign and to make all things right and new. He has told us one day there won't be any more death. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more crying. There won't be any more pain because he will be with us forever. It all sounds good, but how can we be sure? How can we be sure that Christ is going to keep his promises even if we've made God our first priority? Even if God has blessed us in the past, how can we be sure that God will get us through our present trials? How can we be so sure, as David says in verse 8, that God will in fact uphold us with his right hand even as we run after him, even as we cling to him? How can we be sure? Well, why does David say that he will continue to bless the Lord in verse 4? Why does David say he will continue to lift up his hands in praise to God? Why does David say in verse 3 that he will continue to praise God with every word he speaks? Because, he says, God's loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life. That means that if David were faced with a choice between holding on to God's steadfast, faithful covenant love on the one hand, and going on living in this world on the other hand, if he had to choose one or the other, he would choose God's love rather than life. And didn't great David's greater son make the same choice? For how was Jesus able to offer salvation full and free to all who trust in him? How was Jesus able to make this promise that he would come again and destroy the power of death and make all things new? Because he laid down his life in order to accomplish the Father's will, in order to express God's faithful covenant love to us, to Jesus. Making God's loving kindness available to us was better than life. So how can we doubt that he will keep the rest of his promises to us? Since Jesus was willing to die for us, how can we doubt that he will give us everything that we need? Since Jesus loves us better than life itself, can't we trust him? And shouldn't we rejoice in him? So, especially today, especially when we're hiding from invisible enemies, especially when we're bored and when we're lonely and when we're scared, Let's seek Christ early. Let's put Him first in our lives as He's put us first in His. Let's remember the blessings He's already given us. Let's trust in His promises for the future. For surely His steadfast, faithful, covenant love is better than life. Let us pray. Lord, give us that faith. Give us that faith in You that is certain of Your promises. Give us that faith in You that is built upon the foundation of Your blessings in the past. Give us that faith in You that moves us to seek You first in all things, that moves us to seek You early. Oh Lord, help us to prefer Your love even to life itself, because You have loved us so much. We offer this prayer in the name of the One who gave His life so that we might be able to pray, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God continue to give us that faith. We take up our hymnals now. We turn to selection 366, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 366. Let us stand to sing. And now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.